Okay, easy question. If you knew that you were going to die tonight, what would you do today? How would that change? Would it change your day today? Would you do something different knowing that tonight would be the last night? Well, of course you would. Everyone would. It's kind of a simple question. I know a man who was, his name was Art, who was diagnosed with a terminal disease. The doctor said, yeah, it's coming. And so, sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. And Art went out and he was living his life for about a month or so, came back for an appointment. And the doctor said, oops, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Now, he didn't say it that way, but that pretty much could have been what he said. But it was interesting, the result, because Art had lived a whole different life that month, knowing that his end was coming. And the doctor gave him a new lease on life, and he was very, very happy. But he said it this way. He said, I began to see the beauty of God's creation the way I had never seen it before. With the length of my life limited, I began to make the most of every moment, being a good steward of my time. Now, we're in the midst of our stewardship season, and last week I talked about money, and you thought it was fabulous. So today, today we're going to continue our thoughts on stewardship, but this time we're going to talk about time, your stewardship of your time. Think about yesterday. I've been thinking about how to talk to you about being a good steward, and whatever you do, do to the glory of God, is what Paul says in the book of Romans. Whatever you do. So what did you do yesterday? Think about it for just a second. How did you spend your time? How much of it did you waste? I went to a Florida-Georgia football game yesterday. And it was brutal, but it was fun, though. Actually, the lady sitting to my right was a Bulldog fan, and finally, after a while, she just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I said, don't worry about it. I didn't go to that school. I didn't. But on the other side of me, I had a lady who was, when she gets cut, she bleeds blue and orange. And so that wasn't pretty. The ride on the way home was kind of dark and dismal. But anyway, how did you spend your day yesterday? What did you do that was wasteful and didn't fulfill anything for you? How many of you go to I do this, so I understand. I'm talking to myself too. Turn on the TV and just watch anything that's there, just to be amused a little bit. Did you do that yesterday? No? Football for you guys too? Yeah, no, that was a waste of time. But you know what I'm saying is that we have so much time to do things, and sometimes we just waste it. There are two primary words for time used in the New Testament. One is the word chronos, which refers to the ticking of the hours. Every minute, every hour, all of that, the turn of the seasons, all those things. But the other is kairos, which refers to those special times when God is acting decisively or presenting you an opportunity in your life. Those circumstances have a great meaning for us. This morning, we want to look at some biblical truths that can help us to better reward stewardship, our time. And one of these statements is that time is God's good gift to be gratefully received and enjoyed. What a wonderful gift time is. It's been called the substance of life and our most precious asset. It's an opportunity for growing and loving and finding fulfillment and joy. Irma Bombeck once wrote a column chiding a mother for scolding her son during worship when she told the son, stop grinning, you're in church. Yeah. I remember when I was in getting my undergraduate degree in music, and we were performing at a Baptist church in Riverside, Jacksonville. And I think it doesn't matter. We were doing one of the requiems, Bach requiem or something like that. Not exactly a joyful bit of music, but we were college students. And so we were downstairs in our robes cutting up. Now, that's what we do, of course. We're making fun and just, it was great. And the director came downstairs and he said, would you all please be quiet? This is church music. It's not fun. And the really sad part was we all knew him, and he actually meant that. He really did not think it should be. The psalmist has a wonderful statement. we could all use when he declared, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Just to say that each day opens the doors of your heart to gratitude. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Time is God's impartial and generous gift to every one of us. We all have the same amount of it. Every day, every minute has 60 seconds. Every hour has 60 minutes. Every day has 24 hours. Nobody is slighted in any way. And we pride ourselves on being busy people, we say, or we hear other people say, "Oh, you know, I don't have time to do that," or "I don't have time to do this." But we always have time for the things that really matter to us. The struggle we all face is how to allocate or to parcel out our time. But time is God's gift, entrusted to our stewardship. We need to pray daily the great prayer of the psalmist. So teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts into wisdom. Or, "Lord, make me to know my days and the meaning of my days," what it is. Time is God's good gift. And time's limited nature is very sobering, isn't it? James said, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend the year there and trade and get gain,' whereas you do not know tomorrow what is your life. For you are as a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" The Bible also speaks of our lives as flowers that bloom and blossom quickly and wither as the grass that springs up and quickly dies away. We should never presume upon time, and yet every one of us does it. One of the more interesting things that I have noticed over the many years is how much police and doctors and first responders and ministers have in common. One of the things that I had to explain to Deborah when we got married is that death is a constant companion for us. I mean, today we have a funeral at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary. When I go to the hospital, I sometimes never know what's going to happen. I remember one of the more difficult experiences that I had was I was in the emergency room in the basement of the hospital, and a 2-year-old child in our church had died by choking on a bead, one of those little craft beads. It was so hard. She was such a sweet child, and it broke all of our hearts. And then I had to get on the elevator and go up to the 3rd floor where a lady in our church had just given birth. Brand new baby, beautiful and perfect. And I thought to myself, this ride in this elevator is different worlds, completely different worlds. And we live in a culture where we all want to be on the 3rd floor. We all want to be up there with the new babies and the new things that are happening and all of that. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But the reality is we have an amazing ability as American citizens to avoid the inevitable. And I've said it before, you know, one day we'll all be gone. I know you hate to even think about that, but I can't get away from it, because I realize when I stand up in front of a congregation that there are many of you that I will be telling your story one day. And I want to think about it and do it right and all of that. I mean, it's a constant companion. And it, rather than being depressing, it helps us to understand and appreciate the days that we do have and not want to waste those on useless football games. But oh, well. I think for most of us, though, we think of death, those who have a mindset like I'm speaking of, where death is not an enemy. I mean, it's not a welcome friend either, but it's not the enemy. It's not dreaded, because you realize after all, and I know that today Mr. Scott's, Reverend Scott's memorial service will be joyful. He's a man who lived his life out in 40 years of ministry, and he and his family, all recipients of a tremendous grace. And when he finally passed away, there was a sense of joy. Sense of loss, of course, but a sense of joy, because they all knew that his time was not up. His time was not over. An unknown war correspondent observed the tragedy of squandering our life and time when he wrote, "Some men die of shrapnel, some go down in flames, but most men perish inch by inch who play at little games." Have you ever asked yourself, what time is it? What time is it in my life? Take stock of your life. In the relationship of time, Using this measure might be helpful. Someone has designed this or devised it. Assume you live to be 80 years old. Then in various ages, you will reach can be compared to the hours of a day that begins at 6 o'clock and ends at 10. So when you're 10 years old, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's breakfast time, and the day's beginning. If you're 20, then it is 10 a.m. If you're 30, then it's 2, and the day is half over. 4 o'clock, it's 60. 6 o'clock, it's 80. And then at the end of the day is approaching and likely the end of your life. Time is to be used wisely if God is to be glorified, because each day brings us nearer and nearer to eternity. It brings us nearer to God. Paul urges Christians, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because of the shortness of time and the terrible consequences that evil can bring, God's people need to understand and live out His will for life as they find it in His Word. But many don't. We don't use our time wisely. We misuse it. We misuse it when we procrastinate and put off what we know we should and should not be doing. A newspaper man, James Dent, made a list of some of the popular dadisms, and some of them I like particularly. How many bureaucrats does it take to change a light bulb? Well, one, but he'll need to hire two outside consultants to help. How many county commissioners? Two, one to screw it in and the other one to screw it up. And finally, how many procrastinators? One, but he has to wait until the light is better. Professor Harold Hill in the Broadway musical, The Music Man, has a classic challenge about procrastination. He invites River City's librarian, Marion, to go on a summer picnic with him, and he secretly hesitates, and then decides, no, maybe I shouldn't go because it just might not look right. And she says, not today, but maybe tomorrow. And then Professor Hill's reply is a blow to all of our efforts of putting off until tomorrow what we know we should do today. Listen to what he said. If we are not careful, we'll pile up so many tomorrows that all we have left is a bundle of empty yesterdays. Let's make today something that will last forever. Wow, that's pretty good. Jesus reminds us, as does James, that tomorrow is uncertain. Whereas you do not know about tomorrow. We can live under the illusion that there's a golden age somewhere, sometime out there, but as we dream of that, we let great experiences pass us by today. Now, today is the time to live, to love, to laugh, and to serve God and humanity. A proverb from the Indian Sanskrit has great truth for us. Yesterday is but a dream. Tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. We misuse our time when we waste it, either our time or the time of other people. One of the greatest wasters of time is those of you who are, okay, some of you are going to get jabbed in the ribs right now, who are always late. Do you, yeah? Are you that way? My mom was that way. We swore that she'd be late for her own funeral. She was never on time for anything. Now I think about it, I think she was late for that. Yeah, it did take a while. But, I mean, some people who are just so great about handling their bills and handling their obligations and all those kinds of things just don't seem to handle their time very well. If you were in a school and you were late, you're missing out on education. Does it make a difference if you're 10 or 15 minutes late for church or a meeting of some sort? It may not seem very important because the future of the business is not really in question. It doesn't hang on your promptness or anything, but it does make a difference. We cheat ourselves out of blessings. We also inconvenience others who are on time. We rob them as well as ourselves of precious moments as they sit waiting. We can't save time. We can't bank it up like money. We may use our money and then we can replace it, but you can't replace time. God calls us to make the most of time. And if we want to honor Him with our time, then there are ways we can do that. An unknown writer suggests that we can use time to think and to work and to play and to read, to love and to be loved, to laugh, to give, to pray, and to worship. Okay, that's a pretty good description of a well-used day. Each day we should seek to do good to at least one person and to enjoy the beauty of the created world and to bear witness to our faith. But another truth is that time is just a prelude to eternity. In the Wall Street Journal, a column that was published on the internet recently told about how we waste much of our time dreaming about this ideal situation that will never be realized. In middle age, some people still fantasize about what they're going to do when they grow up. Yeah, most people between 35 and 44 continue to daydream about their careers, to anticipate job changes and to compensate for something that's missing or to escape the day-to-day grind. But Judith Merowitz's doctoral dissertation at Columbia's Teacher College says something seems to happen around the age 45. How many of you are 45 or older? Okay, yeah, we pretty well got this covered. But here it is about the time that people about that age shift from daydreaming about their current jobs to fantasizing about what they will do in the future when things get better. Early in their careers, men particularly dream of control and good pay and recognition. But by 45, those daydreams turn to personal expression, even aesthetics. Women, too, look forward as they grow older. But men enter a late middle age, they seem to fantasize more about a less complex life. They start thinking about retirement. Meanwhile, women of the same age talk about more such things as owning their own business as a way to assert themselves. No wonder so many middle-aged marriages get into trouble because men are out there shopping for lazy boy rockers as women are getting adventurous and starting their own businesses. Jesus said, "This is life eternal. To know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, with whom thou hast sent." Time is just a prelude to eternity. Eventually, we will run out of tomorrows. Unless we have built our lives on the solid rock of Christ's love for us, eternal life becomes ours now when we turn our lives over to God through Christ. No time is wasted when that happens. We fulfill God's promises for us when, in the words of the great hymn, we walk with the Lord in the light of His word and trust and obey. In return, God asks of us only that He knows that we have the ability and the time to do. All that He asks is that we love Him with all of our hearts and give ourselves to His service. We are to love our neighbors and worship Him with fellowship and with service to people of God. So let no one say, "I don't have time to serve God because my home life or my job or some other thing keeps me from doing it." We serve God by being the best parent or worker or by doing our duties so as to bring glory to God. And if our lives are so busy we can't find at least 1 hour each week to gather with God's people for mutual rebuilding and corporate worship, then our lives are too busy. And we need to be changed. An old saying puts it this way: one life to live, one death to die, one account to give. If we are good stewards of our time, we can look forward to that day of accounting. We can anticipate a home that is in glory. We can look forward to hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Stewardship of time. It's critical. And let us pray for it. Our Father, we are here today to spend this hour with you and with each other. And that is a testimony to our belief that this is a worthy expenditure of this great resource that you've given to us. But help us to understand throughout the week how we can fulfill that dream and the possibility even more than we do. Help us to open our eyes and our hearts, our ears, our minds, all of us to how time ticks away, but it doesn't go away useless. Help us in that, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.